Welcome to Talk Cosmos, the show where Sue Rose Minahan and guests unveil astrology's ancient archetypes that continually build the collective experiences in our unconsciousness. Get ready to find your free will from your roots in the stars. Hello once again to everybody on this wonderful night of August 8th, 2020, and we're repeating Thursday on August 13th, and that's in the morning, 6 a.m. Pacific time, or if you're in Hawaii, well, it's really early, isn't it? But we are glad to receive so many wonderful people from all around the globe. It is most remarkable. Tonight's subject is a fixed star, Sirius. It's the brightest star in the sky, and it's conjunct the United States natal sun. Fixed stars, they move very slowly. That's why they're fixed. And it's approximately 1 degree every 72 years. Now, where's the sun? And astrology is all about cycles, so this makes a lot of sense. In our talk here, and information to learn for some of you and others, yeah, oh yeah, I got it down. So the sun moves at 1 degree a day. I mean, it's 365 days that it goes around, so when there's 365, anyway, it's 1 degree a day approximately. It happened to be that at the time of the United States in 1776, the sun and Sirius were joined together. So without any more, we will have time for cosmic collaboration.
Investigating the deeper questions of this month's archetype and integrating spirit and matter for unified wholeness, this is your cosmic collaboration panel.
I'm Sue Rose Minahan, host of Talk Cosmos, an evolutionary astrologer and consultant, plus a certified color energy coach. I explore creative expression as an artist, a musician, and write abundantly, stories to poetry. I love investigating mythology's language, philosophizing eternity, and I'm a perpetual student of life, seeing oneness of body, spirit of people, animals, and nature.
I'm Shannon Hayes, a certified evolutionary astrologer and consultant, including Mayan astrology. I'm a stargazer, and I work with animal spirit cards. I own a hair salon, and I'm a nature lover, animal activist, and photographer.
And I'm Amanda Pierce, a soul-centered astrologer, astrological consultant, and empowerment-based meditation teacher. I have a BA in psychology, I'm a wellness enthusiast with a passion for healthy eating, and I enjoy creating new realities and shifting old paradigms.
And like the Sufi poet Rumi says,
you are the entire ocean in a drop.
Yes, we are. And you know, the sun rules Leo, and we're in the Leo archetype. I needed to say that because even though the Sirius and our natal sun of the United States is in Cancer, anything that the sun touches, it connects with, it expands that energy. So one other factor is that back in 1776, the founders they actually voted on the Declaration of Independence on July 2nd. And that was when Sirius, the star, the brightest star in the sky, and the sun were exactly at 11 degrees and 22 minutes Cancer. But it was 2 days later that the signatures from the president of Congress, happened to be John Hancock, and the secretary, Charles Thompson, actually signed it, and then later everybody else did. So with me, I have Amanda Pierce and Shannon Hayes. And this history is quite remarkable that, every year the sun and Sirius actually conjunct because of the precession of equinoxes. You know, they went from 11 degrees to now Sirius is 14 degrees 5 minutes, whereas our natal sun is 13 degrees 19 minutes. Now, all those are details, but the fact is that it's an orb and it connects right at our July 4th around that date. Hi, Amanda. Or
yes,
Shannon.
Hello.
Good morning. Or good morning. Evening. Yeah.
Yeah, good evening.
I guess
good
morning.
Good evening. Good morning.
Sun is shining.
Yeah, I think it's really fascinating that the intention really was for our founding fathers to line up the USA chart astrologically with Sirius. And they intended it, our Independence Day, to be July 2nd. And we even know that through one of John Adams' letters to his wife, Abigail, stating like July 2nd is going to be an incredibly important date. But that's just not how it really panned out. But even so, Sirius is still just 2 degrees from the USA sun. So it's still quite infused with the Sirius energy.
1 degree, actually 14 now, and because of we're natally at 13.19. I mean, it's close with all those numbers, it gets that. Isn't it interesting too that our founders, several of them, were astrologers? George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, and Thomas Jefferson. Of course, Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, from what I read, actually were authors of the Declaration of Independence. But all three of them, it's established that they were of significant astrologers. They kept books, and Jefferson, when he contributed to start the Library of Congress, included many books of astrological significance. So you're right, this Sirius with the sun is so quite amazing.
And that makes sense too, because they were all Masons, and the Masons really took the astrology seriously, you know. So yeah.
Yeah, the Masons, they use astrology quite a bit. I mean, it's even if you look at some of the, I feel like I'm talking through a tunnel. Sorry. some of the symbolism on the dollar bill and stuff, you know, they were into sacred geometry and astrology. As
yes.
Masons. So yeah, and I mean, in the whole Sirius being the brightest star in the sky, and it's being next to the United States. I mean, it's an interesting synchronicity and symbolism of, you know, where the founding fathers of the Constitution were coming from at the time of developing this independence. You know, coming from the fact that they, you know, seriously fighting against repression of the British and trying to establish independence as a young, upcoming country, you know, and this was all even before, Civil War stuff, too. So, I mean, it's kind of messy. It wasn't an easy transition, but it was full of hope and, the light, you know, Sirius is definitely a high bright magnitude star. It's the brightest star. So there was a lot of light and promise and hope, right?
Yeah, and they knew that it was, along with that idea of Sirius, which in mythology is we've realized all around the world. But of course, we first wrote a lot of our traditions in the Western world from Greece that also brought it from earlier cultures, Egypt and way back, because Sirius was actually a star that was a high I'm saying four things at once, sorry about that, but the heliacal rise is today,
right. Yes,
because it's invisible for 70 days, which is 35 days after the fourth and 35 days before the fourth. And what the Masons knew was that fourth was the second day of the dog days. And that gets all into Sirius of the Greek mythology. which I could go on, but I bet one of you can carry it away. Yes.
Well, yeah. Well, with the Heliacal, I mean, today is the Heliacal rise. And what that actually, the Heliacal rise is when a planet rises before the sun. So this is actually the brightest that Sirius will be without, because Sirius is before the sun. So it's the brightest time to be able to see Sirius in the sky.
Yes.
Which is kind of interesting. I mean, it, you know, it doesn't really, the Heliacal rise on this Heliacal rise has nothing to do really with where Sirius was at the time of the development of the Constitution. But it's interesting that the whole Lionsgate thing and the Heliacal rise is now.
Like, except that, right, very significant. That's very significant. But in a sense, it does, because it shows it's part of the legacy of Sirius and why they would have chosen that time.
Because it's bright, right.
Well, and also because Sirius was a marker for, like, the ancients. They had, from 11,000 BC, there's evidence that when Sirius would rise was when the Nile River would flood. It was the hottest time of the year, and right. That is when all the food, of course, was abundant. I mean, not abundant, but it meant that they would have food with some Nile. They lived and breathed by the flooding of the Nile. And
right,
so
yeah.
Sirius became a very potent energy, which
Sirius was the highest. Right now, this is not the highest point. This is Sirius rising before the sun. That's what I'm getting at. Is like the Constitution was written when Sirius was at its, like, what were you saying? Like it's when it's culminating. Isn't that what we were talking about the other day?
Yeah,
it was kind of on a fall from its culminating. Right now, Sirius is just starting to rise. That's the only point I was making.
All right. Yes, it's all significant in different ways. So
right.
Not to argue about all of that or different.
Right.
It's just that the significance, it today is significant because it is finally emerging.
Right.
Might be another way of describing it to our audience, emerging from the invisible time that. Because when it's in the beams, in the rays of the sun, like Venus, like Mercury, it's unseen. But today is when it's first rising. So it's amazing that here we are talking about Sirius. It does have that 70 days where it's not seen. But
well, and today is not the actual day that it's first seen. I believe it's closer to
it's like the
summer solstice.
The summer solstice is when it begins, it goes into that invisible time,
right?
And now it's coming out of that invisible time.
It's coming
time
out of it, yeah.
The fourth is the center of it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
okay, yeah, yeah, you see what
yeah.
I'm
okay.
saying. Yeah,
so we'll go, but that is partly why the Sirius was one of the measuring points for the Nile and for these cultures. And, you know, like Chinese called it the wolf star, and the Akkadians and the Hittites and the Babylonians and the Sumerians and all those peoples around the Nile and Egypt, they called it the dog star. And that's a fascinating part.
Yeah, and the term or the association of the dog is that it's in the Canis Major. I'm not sure if that's
constellation.
That correctly.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Mahorus yeah. or
well,
Major,
which is the dog constellation. And so, right. and at least that's in the Greek tradition. That's what it was called. But again, like Stu was mentioning, this dog reference is all throughout the Middle East, but also you can see it in China with the calling the star
the wolf.
It's some type of wolf. And then even in the Native American cultures, there was reference to the star being a dog.
Yes.
So it's
so
this like there's definitely something that different cultures are pulling from the kind of dog energy of this star.
And the constellation of the dog is not just a random constellation, but it's at the foot of Orion. And so there's a lot of mythologies, you know, to understand these stars. And they were a reference point of context for many, many, not just to go sightseeing, which I like to do. I'm at night and it's, oh, I'm sightseeing with the stars. But for their life, it meant life and death, literally, like navigating and with the seasons, you know, agriculture and everything. So yeah, the dog. And didn't we find out that they really considered the dog a female?
Yes.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
Yeah. In ancient Egypt, Sirius was incredibly important to Egyptian religion. And it's actually the only star that's known with certainty to be in the Egyptian records. And Sirius was connected to Isis, and it was a connection to fertility and abundance. And that completely makes sense, because when Sirius would rise, that's when the Nile would flood. And so that's their connection to the food source and life. Really, it was a life bringer.
And fertility. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Because
go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, yeah, when the floods came, it actually, since that area tended to be kind of dry, when it would flood, it actually brought food. It brought the greenery. It brought growth to things, like their food source. That's why they're flooding was so important.
Yeah, they depended on it.
They depended on flooding. Yeah,
and Sirius is a binary star. It has two parts, A and B. And in the Egyptian culture, because looking back at history, for anybody that of our audience that is fascinated with it, it is most extraordinary to see the interconnection of these different cultures throughout time, because they share the same concepts, but of course name it their own names. But for Egyptians, Isis was this goddess of fertility,
yeah.
And Horus, Horus, was the sun.
The sun.
And so when they would mate and be together, it was fertility. And the star, and I don't know if the mythology is actually
Osiris
relating.
Was actually the partner of Isis.
It
was
Isis. That's true. But I've also read about Horus, but you're right. Yeah, and
exactly. Yeah, and Osiris is Orion, right? So that's like what you were talking about earlier.
So the two stars together, and they are conjunct closer together at different times. I think in 1993, they were last conjunct, and that's when the Berlin Wall fell down. And when one reads about it, it is very closely related to freedom, even though often one considers Sirius connected with the energies of Mars and Jupiter. So they can either be very benevolent or very bad also, you know, like the heat of the sun, it's very beautiful and it gives all, you know, at that time with the flooding of the Nile, or else it's pretty harsh and hot, because the dog days are notoriously hot.
Yeah, the fixed stars it's a very ancient system, and anyone familiar with the older astrologies knows that there's a lot of negativity associated with some of the interpretations. And so you'll find that a lot with the fixed stars, which does not mean that you can't take a more modern approach to it, but Sirius is one of those stars that has a lot of positivity associated with it. And so it's one of those sought after connections. And some of the things that Sirius is associated with is honor, renown, wealth, ardor, faithfulness, devotion, passion. And it's supposed to make natives custodians, curators, and guardians.
Oh, that gets down to why the Masons wanted it. And I was reading.
It very much makes sense for the U.S.
The prince of the kings of earth. That I think that was Virgil or Homer that was saying that. Yeah, because the ancients really thought it was very great. And anything.
Yeah, the meeting of the sun and Sirius. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, because anything later was, by later it would have been AD, you know, may have gotten different connotations, but then technology changes and everything. And so maybe the hotness became an issue. Interestingly, the English word for sir is derived from Sirius.
Sirius, yeah.
I think Amanda, you know, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say what you were talking about, like in other ancient civilizations, right? They also believed that the meeting of the sun and Sirius, because Sirius was the brightest night star, was a significator of illumination and at a time when light and truth would be shed on the world, right? So it was said to bring about a new evolution or way of being, which totally, you know, like a rebirth for all those living on Earth and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, this, you know, and it said that it was considered to be the son of the sun. So, I mean, it just kind of ties into like the mindset, right, between what the founding fathers had in mind, you know, like, I mean, it just shows the like the level that there was consciousness on many different levels of the founding fathers. You know, they weren't just simple guys that picked a random date. They had a lot of knowledge and ancient wisdom behind them, which is really fascinating because, I mean, Sirius is definitely, you know, was considered an illuminator of the spiritual world. So, you know, it's just kind of fascinating, I guess.
And with the, Shannon, I know that you've particularly looked into the Lakota of the sacred hoop. And it is a star of the sacred hoop.
It is. It's across from the Pleiades, and it actually crosses. And I was just looking at a picture of that too. It's so it's across from the Pleiades, and it crosses basically the Milky Way, which the Milky Way was considered the path of the souls. And Sirius happens to be, because of its connection with the crab archetype, the crab and the across from the crab is the Capricornius, right? So those angles, not only do they have to do with like the solstices, right? But they also have to do with like a silver and a gold hoop that where souls enter and exit from the planet. So it's like a major cross on the sacred hoop. And it's also on the other side of that is the Gemini Sagittarian axis, which is the galactic center. So it's just kind of fascinating. They're the two crossing points of the Milky Way, right? Yeah, two hoops that are on either side of the sacred hoop, which goes right in the middle where this, like another, like the, it crosses, the sacred hoop crosses the Milky Way, which is the path they consider the path of the souls, I guess.
Yeah, there's quite a few stars.
Yes, there's quite a few stars. Yeah, it's just one of, I thought, one of the many interesting kind
well,
of
it has
of-
a legacy. And again, the Lakota back in the days of not that long ago, when you consider it was just 100 years ago, there was still probably a real native population that followed their traditions. But in the Dakotas, for 3 months, they felt the stars would come down to Earth in a path, and they would have this sacred journey experiencing this energy throughout it. So it's that's in the Black Hills.
The
Christians called
Devil's Tower,
but used to be the Bear's Den or the Bear's Bears.
Yeah.
It's just fascinating. So yes, it's it is powerful energy, and the United States was connected with this hope of freedom, and in so many ways it connects to our natal, that idea of freedom for all, which we'll get into at the how this could mean for the United States and maybe our mission to try to understand our current times that are trying to really connect with some of these dreams, because you know, our south node is in Aquarius, our moon is in Aquarius, the rising sign is in Sag. I mean, that baby, that's like freedom here, please, for everybody. So we'll see what.
And I just want to connect back to the sacred hoop, that the ancient Egyptians, they believed that Sirius was the doorway to the afterlife. And that doorway was thought to be closed during the 70 days that Sirius was hidden by the sun. So the 35 days before or after July 4th, relatively around there. And so they refused to bury their dead during that time when Sirius was hidden. So that's it, like on the other side of the world, we have a similar tradition in place.
And where was that again, Amanda?
That was ancient Egypt.
Oh, yes. Refused to bury the dead during then. And again, it is this incarnation of spirits coming from the universe and then returning to the universe. I've always heard of one as being the silver hoop and the other the golden hoop. But it's so amazing. You think people, they traveled by sea. You wonder who really connected with some of these ideas that then told their stories to others, you know, or how it all worked. Well, I think we're right at a time. Unless we have about a minute. Otherwise, we'll go for our little getaway. But did somebody have a finishing thought they wanted to add? Da, 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 da. Okay, we will return. This is August 8th, the day of the heliacal rise of Sirius that connects to the United States natal sun. And I have Shannon Hayes and Amanda Pierce with myself, Sue Rose Minahan. And we're so glad you're here. We'll see you in a few moments.
While we take a break from this week's edition of Talk Cosmos, let's take a look at this cycle's archetype. We are currently in the Yang period of Leo, ruled by the solar sun. Having departed from a cycle based on the internal process of emotional attachments requiring security and safety, the energy of Leo externally manifests our legacy through children and artistic creations. As a fixed Yang fire sign that desires to ignite actualization, Leo the Lion takes the risk to generously exhibit love and welcome all to share their stage with joyous pleasure for living life.
Hello, this is Kathleen Talevich, physiosynthesis instructor, and you are listening to Talk Cosmos on Alternative Talk 1150 AM, hosted by Sue Rose Minahan, every Saturday from 6 to 7 p.m.
Alternative Talk, 1150 on AM, 98.9 HD3 on HD, 1150kknw.com on the web.
Hello, we're so glad to get together again with you and hope that your week is going along in a fruitful manner. This is August 8th and we repeat on the 13th on KKNW. You can get that or else just go to Talk Cosmos, subscribe. And we're also on podcast one. And this is talking about with the Cosmic Collaboration with Amanda Pierce and Shannon Hayes and myself, Sue Rose Minahan, talking about Sirius, the fixed star that is the brightest star and connected to the United States sun because of our founding fathers that were astrologers that really were geared to hope that we would have a promising existence from that fledgling colony that was leaving the motherland of England. You know, I was looking at quite a bit other mythology, which we can bring back later because it is most amazing. Because here it says, it is Orion who leads the constellations as they speed over the full circuit of the heavens. This was given by Manlius, who I'm not quite sure who Manlius is, but says, at his heels follows the dog, outstretched in full career. No star comes on mankind more violently or causes more trouble when it departs. Oh, dear.
Interesting. Yeah.
So let's see. In ancient times, a dog star's evening rising occurred in early January. Well, that's hardly here. Well, you know, you could go, it says a brilliant constellation of the dog. It barks forth flame. Now, when was this written? Here I am suddenly finding something, and it's like I did not research. I apologize. But it does say with the sun, and I think Amanda brought this up earlier, but we'll just connect with it. Success in business. Occupation connected with metals or other martial affairs. That's because of Mars. That energy. Domestic harmony. If rising or culminating, which I think Shannon brought up that we had discussed, and that all has to do at certain times of the year, if it's rising on the ascendant or culminating at the top of the heavens, the highest point. Kingly preferment. Well, it is with our sun, and our sun is in the seventh house in Cancer. And I think as we were mentioning in our chart, we have a natal square with Saturn in Libra. And before I let go of this thought, I'll say that Saturn in Libra, according to the traditional thinking, is a very prominently good place for Saturn to be in. It's a good negotiations. It's it's a very positive placement.
Mediator, yeah.
I think, yes.
One of the least bad placements for Saturn.
Right.
What? Yeah, the least bad. Well, you know, it really, because there needs to be structure. You know, Saturn has wonderful attributes. It just needs to be used. And if you don't use it, then it's not so good.
But it just takes a little work. You just you got to put in a little work to get the good out of it.
That's
absolutely
right.
Oh, Saturn likes work.
And before we end, that's it, because Nadia Shaw, a wonderful astrologer who has a fantastic YouTube and has been in renown and as a international speaker, I'm just taking a class from her, and she was just mentioning that Saturn squares, not Saturn, but squares in a chart means success, that it means I'll show you. And so it's where that energy succeeds. And I know Dr. Laura Tad, who's also with the Planet Buzz, gives talks on the fact that it's really a positive aspect. Yes, it has challenges. It's not just easy measy, but it means that it's productive. You have to resolve something. So here we have.
Right.
The United States Sun in Sirius square our natal Saturn in Libra. And I think that's in the 10th house.
So I have something interesting. Oh, go ahead, Amanda.
Oh, well, I was just going to mention that the U.S.'s natal sun is at 13. Sirius is at 11. But transiting Sirius has now moved. Or it's not quite transiting. It's just through the precession of the equinoxes. 14. It's now moved to about 14. And so that is now in an exact square with our Saturn at 14.
Exact.
So that's part of why we're seeing a little more activation around Saturn. A little. That's a
kind of an understatement right now.
Yeah, and so you can see Saturn, which really wants you to be the authority and stand in your own authority and be the mature energy. It's kind of pushing back against Sirius and asking for that commitment from it.
Or it might be also asking the sun for that commitment, because the sun in Cancer can, you know, the difference between Saturn and the moon, and of course, the moon is ruling Cancer, is that of timing. And it could be the child versus the elder, or it could be needy. I mean, there's always positive and different factors of how to interpret it, you know. So,
yeah. Well, and natally, the U.S. has had that energy of the sun square Saturn at sun at 13, Saturn at 14. So that's been a steady
13-11. It was conjunct is the point, but now it's 13 because the sun hasn't changed. It's still 13, but 14.
Right. The sun hasn't changed. Right. Saturn hasn't changed. So that square energy has been consistent throughout the U.S.'s existence. But with Sirius kind of moving in a little bit closer to that Saturn, it's when the Sun is conjunct Sirius, it's considered, Sirius is considered the guide star in the chart. And so it really is, you can see a lot of this, a lot of the Sirius energies coming through in the U.S. And it's kind of fused with the sovereignty of the Sun and like the full expression of the U.S. And especially around like the liberation and the freedom, that's, those are often connected to Sirius. And so we're kind of seeing that a bit in the U.S., how things are playing out in the U.S. with
for everybody. They want it for everybody.
Right? Yeah. And like the kind of struggle with some people not wanting to wear a mask because it infringes upon their freedom.
Right.
And so Saturn is like pushing against, and it's restricting, and it's saying, okay, well, we have to do this in a more mature way.
Yeah.
Well, of course, that's exactly it. I know Shannon wanted to say something, but it is interesting you brought up the masks, because there's protests. I mean, it's not just because we have Mars in Aries for 6 months, because it will be retrograde in September. There's so many cycles and energies and conjunctions, you know, that we've been talking about through week to week, but also that we recognize when we look that we're all collectively experiencing. But I would say that getting prepared for our Pluto return, which will be in about 6 years, or 5 years, it will, or a few years, I'll have to look at that exactly. That's right. It may not be for 5 or 6. It may be closer than that, because it's only 27, might be about 3 years that it's going to be. But the point is that this, I think the square with the politics that are happening now is everything about both the corporation and the business, which we've brought up before in our own talk, and also the right and the dignity, thinking of this, of the Sun in Cancer, to care for every individual, that they have a home, that they have survival, that they're safe and they're included.
Yeah. And that's right. A type of freedom too, to be able to have that level of safety. So that's a different way of looking at how can we be free in this world. And you mentioned Mars. Mars is really, it's at 21 Aries right now. So it's really kind of in that square. It's opposing Saturn. It's
the natal one, the natal. Oh, are you talking about natal or transiting?
I'm talking about transiting Mars opposing the U.S.'s natal Saturn and squaring our natal Sun and Sirius.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So it's having all, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's
totally activating it. Yeah. Well, you know what I was, okay, so what I wanted to say, I mean, even though it's like kind of wide, but so I threw a chart like in the Civil War, right, in April 12th, like 1861. And actually the south node of that chart is 17 Cancer. So it's actually like the Sirius, I mean, even though Sirius moves really slow and stuff, it's like it's still kind of hovering around that. And that was like our Civil War.
Now, when did the Civil War start? I thought it started in 1960 like, or 61.
What? 1861.
Oh, it was 18.
Yeah, 1861. It was in April.
Oh, it was.
April 12th, 1861 was the beginning of the Civil War.
Okay.
Like that was when the
war actually
started.
Because south nodes go retrograde down. So if it was 17, right. It's applying.
Right. It's applying
that.
Right? Yes.
4 degrees. Yeah. So, of course, the Sun was conjunct. It's a little bit far for a star. A star is usually, the orb is, with Sirius, officially,
it's
2 degrees,
right?
40 minutes. But still, it's applying. Just like if we go backwards, it was, you know, they're an orb. It's like that energy is growing. Like Amanda said, right now, it's exact, you know, Sirius and
Right. Well, and in this chart, you have Mars just past. Mars is it's kind of separating from Saturn. Saturn's like 3 degrees Virgo, and Mars in this chart is 6 degrees Gemini. So you have more of the Mars action happening at that time. Well, I mean, and that Mars rules like, you know, the Sun and Venus in the chart of the Civil War. I mean, it's just kind of interesting. So similar things.
You mean similar because Mars in itself, regardless, are you referring to that?
Right.
Just to clarify for the audience that Mars is a contender energy here, just like Mars is in our natal and
right.
Of course, it always does have action, but right now it's quite potent.
It's highlighted. Yeah, it's very potent.
Okay. All right. Yes. Well, very good. Thank you. Looking at what, well, I'm just thinking about what the promise was and realizing that it's a, I know what I'm thinking too, because I'm thinking of that natural energy. If Sirius, looking at the fertility element of it and the women that are so associated with it from ancient days because of the river flooding and the significance there, and the dog of her, in other words, perhaps a female dog, the constellation, you know, because it is, Sirius is in the major dog, Canis. Canis means dog.
Right.
Large dog, because there is a little dog. That's a point for people that don't know about their constellations. But the point is that, oh boy, I just got lost there talking about stars out in the sky. Sorry about that, folks. Let's see. Amanda, or what were we saying?
Well, okay, so when we had discussed this previously, we were talking about the rise of women's voices right now.
Oh, yes, that's
right.
It. Thank you.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And how that can
tying
connect
it together.
Back to Sirius.
Yeah.
And
their contribution now.
Yeah, and like, I mean, there's been the Me Too movement, and we have the potential for the first female vice president. So we're seeing that come through, and with that square into Saturn, it's the way I see it is kind of like it's a maturation of that energy and the kind of a balancing, because we've got Saturn in Libra, which is all about finding balance.
Very true.
And typically when you have a planet or anything in Libra, there's not any balance. You're searching for it, trying to find it. And so this is kind of trying to find that rebalancing and create a little more equality.
Well, yeah, because when the Constitution was founded, it was founded by men, and women didn't have the right to vote then. And there was still, like, slavery was what started the whole Civil War, right? It was like some of the northern states and some of the southern territories that weren't necessarily states yet, you know, that was a huge thing. And that's what's happening now. And that's why I even brought up the Civil War, because it was another time, highly activated by similar events that are happening now, but similar things that were going on that, like, they were trying to deal with back in those days that we're still dealing with now. It's like you see, like, some of our past really being played out in our faces for us to look at. So it's also that kind of shadow side of, well, not even shadow. I mean, it's Sirius being the illuminator. You know, it's conjunct the sun, and it's time to look at this stuff. This is
absolutely
like our past is being exposed to us. So the promise is to make better changes, like you said, to include everyone.
Yep. And
it's
history. You know,
as you were
talking here, I just realized, of course, Saturn, Capricorn, it's not in Capricorn, but it is a natural ruler. But Even so, it's Saturn's traditions and its history is involved. And that's been the problem, too, is a lot of history is told by whoever writes it, and it's not all inclusive. And how can we really know the truth of what the issues are that need to be corrected or rectified or made whole? So I'm really thrilled to realize that too. I think that's really significant to find out. Like, for instance, Juneteenth, when Trump was going to have that rally on the 19th. And we found out all about that history. I don't think that was included in our books at US history or anything like that, which I found quite distressing.
Yeah, so, and you're speaking about the massacre in Tulsa.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, and that was, a lot of people found out about that through the HBO TV show. Oh gosh, I can't remember the name of it, but it was broadcast, I think, earlier this year, or was last year, that was a big part of the show. And
that's where a lot of
white people learned about this.
Yes.
Like, it was not taught to me. It's not in any history books. Majority.
Thank you, Amanda. And then going back to the Lakotas, also about history, the whole Native American cultures, looking at when people talk about the Dakotas being so sacred, who would have thought of this 3-month journey that people took for their holistic spiritual self? It's such a fantastic.
But pilgrimages, I mean, it's like so many different civilizations do pilgrimages, you know, and the Native Americans, the Lakotas, and some of the other tribal peoples also did it out in the Black Hills, because the sacred hoop lines up to what the Christians call Devil's Tower. But that's when they would do their pilgrimages, when it lined up with the actual,
which is another thing, you
the
know,
Devil's Tower, right? Yeah,
I'm triggered here. I can tell, so I will tone it down a little. We are in the North Node of Gemini and the South Node of Sag. So of course, that's cultures and belief systems of Sag. That's where we're coming from, and opinions. People, we all think that perhaps our opinion is the best. But the fact is, with the opposing North Node, that we're going towards more information, readjusting, mutable, they're both mutable, the new thought.
And curiosity. Gemini is about being curious and open to change and differences.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm thinking that here with the, let's see, what did I get triggered about? I get so trying to fill in the details. I should just plow forth, but I'm trying to have people follow me in my thought, because I'm thinking about the Native American heritage. Oh, darn, I'll have to think about it again.
Can I just say,
please,
the HBO TV show is called Watchmen, and it's brought to life the 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre. Just to fill in those details.
Oh, cool. Well, I mean, that's how we learn, though, is through history, you know. And it's true. It's like, you know what? It's like the winners of wars usually are the ones who write history, right?
Yeah.
But eventually, the truth comes out. So, you know, people, like, thanks to archaeologists, thanks to, you know, people that are historians, you know, people who'll dig deeper to find the real truth, things turn up, you know, all the time.
Oh, I know. Thank you.
New discoveries constantly. So, you know, the truth will come.
But
go for it.
Well, thank you, Shannon, because truth reminded me of the South Node, which is Sagittarius. But then I thought of the Devil's.
Lord, are you on a racetrack?
No, the racetrack is what didn't set, which you said that the hoop was called. It's a racetrack. Well, I am on the racetrack, because you know what? It goes around Devil's Tower. And that's what makes me so mad, is why should it be called Devil's Tower? It should not be called Devil's Tower, and that's another part of history getting rectified.
Yep.
And the only reason, in fact, I read this someplace, they said, if you ever find any of these devil things around anywhere in the United States, you know that it was Christianity that came along and named it that way.
Of course.
And so therefore, I think that needs to be another movement, is people going and rectifying them back to the truthful heritage of their sacred identity that had much more information than maybe people even, well, definitely that people even consciously are aware of. It could reconnect us. And that's really, I think, what all of this about Sirius and the stars that our founders wanted was for us to offer this buoyant beauty to everybody. And slowly, just like the Civil War and the Revolution, it wasn't easy stuff. Now, hopefully we can manage to avoid violence and just keep it on a mental idea of negotiating, right?
Well, you know what you're talking about? What was it you were talking about earlier? I think Amanda brought it up about the Berlin Wall and everything coming down,
yeah,
right?
I did. Mm-hmm.
So Nixon resigned on August 9th, 46 years ago. So tomorrow is the, anniversary, 46th anniversary of Nixon resigning.
Wow. Yeah.
Interesting,
huh? I mean, there's another serious contact with, you know.
And you know, every 47 years is when the sun returns to the same spot. I mean, not sun, but Mars goes back to the same, one of the same spots 46 years ago that it was in relationship with the sun. Because in your natal horoscope, it would be like 15 years old and 47. As we know, that can be a perilous year sometimes for a few people.
Yeah,
everybody.
Well, that was for Nixon.
Yeah, exactly.
It was good for the country, bad for Nixon.
Right. Just to remind folks, this is the Leo Cosmic Collaboration Panel, and I'm Sue Rose Minahan, and with me as members are both Amanda Pierce and Shannon Hayes of Seattle, Washington. And you can go to Talk Cosmos and see on the guest list there information how to reach them. We all three consult. We are astrologers, among other activities, and you can subscribe too. And so thank you. First of all, we're not signing off, but we do so appreciate your interest and look forward to a time when we can interconnect more. So we are talking about Sirius, the fixed star, the brightest star in the sky that is conjunct the United States
sun.
Yep. On August 8th and the 13th. So
and
we have,
there was,
go ahead.
There was one other thing that you briefly mentioned in the beginning, is that we're in the period of the Lionsgate portal right now, which is from July 26th to August 12th. And today, August 8th, is the peak of that portal, meaning it's the, there's the most energy and magic available for, it's, the portal is about accelerated ascension and major shifts on all levels. The reason I'm bringing it up is because it coincides with the heliacal rise of Sirius. So it's again another significator of how important Sirius is and kind of the magic that's available with Sirius. And Sirius was also considered a Bohemian star, which is a star that was used for magical purposes in astrology.
Oh, didn't you bring it up that it's one of the 15 fixed stars in that ideology of Arab? Is that what you're referring to?
There are 15 Bohemian fixed stars. So 15 stars that are considered to be useful for magic. So, and Sirius is one of those. Yeah.
Well, it certainly has a legacy of great renown, and for real reason. I was so surprised to see, here it is. It says that, I'll read it. Its risings and settings were regularly tabulated in Chaldea about 300 BC. And Oppert, who's back in old days, whoever, O-P-P-E-R-T, reported to have recently said the Babylonian astronomers could not have known certain astronomical periods, which, as a matter of fact, they did know, if they had not observed Sirius from the island of Zylos, Z-Y-L-O-S, in the Persian Gulf on, how they know this, I don't know, Thursday, the 29th of April, 11,542 BC. That's antiquity.
Yeah.
You are both Amanda Pierce and Shannon Hayes, marvelous. And we love our audience. We love you. We hope everybody has a wonderful week, the best possible, of, as we all transmute these changes. And subscribe. We'll be back again every month and every week. So I'll let you guys know. We have a couple of seconds. I think this goes on for about a minute, but with our music background. So if you both want to say goodbye.
Well, this has been fun. I really enjoyed it. I love connecting with you guys and the audience. So excited for next month.
Yeah, very exciting. Great talk. It's always fun to hook up. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yeah, the depth goes on. All right. Well, bon voyage, folks. Take care. Lots of love.
Thank you for listening to Talk Cosmos, the show where Sue Rose Minahan and guests unveil astrology's ancient archetypes that continually build the collective experiences in our unconsciousness. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 6 p.m. to continue finding your roots in the stars.